You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Editing TK here, letting you know that we have a bit of a change in the episode scheduling. So instead of having an Empress Batty episode, we will be having a guest episode, but it's wonderful. We're going to be talking about some Welsh history. It's going to be great. I unfortunately had a battle with Premiere Pro where I lost epically and ended up losing all of the footage that I filmed of the Empress Batty episode that should have been out instead of this one. So, gonna have to refilm that, but that's okay. I really hope that you enjoy this episode. I loved recording it. So I will stop talking and let past TK let you know. Okay, love you, bye. Welcome, 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 friend. I'm TK, your tour guide to the past, and you are listening to For the Love of History, the podcast where we talk about world history, women's history, weird history, and it's guest city up in here. We have had authors, we have had other podcasters, and we have had lots of people that I probably shouldn't say because they're secret guests that will come on later on in the season. I don't know when this episode is coming out. So today we have a wonderful fellow podcaster, the host and creator of FM Fish, ADHD for grown-ups. I'm so excited to have Callie on the podcast today. Thank you for joining us, Callie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yes. So Callie sent me, she hopped into my DMs on Instagram and was like, listen, there's this like Welsh lady that I really want to talk about and I would love to come on your podcast. And I was like, Callie, I would love for you to be on my podcast because I don't know anything about Welsh history. If we've learned anything about any of the guests that have come on, it's that I don't know anything about the things that they're talking about, which is why we have guests. So I'm very excited to have Callie on today to talk about, we're going to give it a try. Okay. Gwenllian Firth Griffith. Ooh.
That was close. That was not bad at all.
Thank you. Thank you. And okay, so I did that. I'm going to hand it over to Callie so a real Welsh person can talk about real Welsh things and pronounce them in a Welsh correct way.
I'm certainly going to try.
And yeah.
It's kind of surreal to be talking to you today, actually, TK, mm-hmm. to be honest. Because, yeah. As I mentioned, I found the podcast two, 3 weeks ago, maybe, and have binged four seasons. In fact, I'm about four and a half seasons in. So it's kind of surreal because I think I've listened to three episodes today and now I'm hearing you actually in my ears.
We are speaking to you.
Yes, it's awesome. So this is great times for me. I just for those people who may be Cymraeg who are listening mm-hmm. podcast, because I'm going to assume I wouldn't be the only person.
I don't think you are, yeah.
No, so I don't sound particularly Welsh. I have to. I've been in Australia for the last 18 or so years, so I have very much lost a lot of my accent. However, once a Welshie, always a Welshie, and so I think one of the places I really wanted to start was around the language. I actually thought it'd be really cool to talk about it because you may have just heard me say Cymraeg,
yeah,
and is Welsh in Cymraeg. So there is a real thing around language in Wales. So, you know, in a lot of people don't really know about much about Welsh history, Welsh culture, you know, and we're very much lumped in with the British, the English. You know, people always go, I'm going to go to the UK, I'm visiting Britain, and I'm going to Scotland, and I'm going to Ireland, I'm going to go to England. Mm. And I'm like, cool, and are you going to Cymru? Are you going to Wales? And they're like, nah.
No. My heart.
Right? And people don't get how cool it is. I mean, like, legitimately, we believe in dragons. King Arthur was real. Like, I'm not even, it's non-negotiable, you know. So one of the things that's actually happening there, so back in the day, Welsh language got pretty much banned. And so so Cymraeg, which is Welsh, Cymru is Wales, so I'll be using those words today. I don't speak Cymraeg so much anymore. I used to as a kid, but you know, a long time ago, I've forgotten the most of it. And you know, literally to the point where children at school, like if they were heard speaking Cymraeg, they would have to wear what's called the Welsh knot, which was a plank of wood around their neck on a rope.
What?
Yeah. And whoever was wearing it at the end of the day got the beatings. So it's horrendous. Like, so our language is quite, you know, it's a real powerful thing. You know what they say, if you want to wipe out a country, you know, you don't just have to kill the people, you kill the culture and you kill the language. So, you know, it's quite a sensitive thing. So I'm going to try and do my best by it today. I will absolutely butcher some of the pronunciations, I'm sure. So I'm going to beg for forgiveness, I think, afterwards. We're going to talk today about, so her name is Gwenllian. So Gwenllian Fert Griffith. And again, I find my double D sound is a bit too, it's supposed to be, and I go, so I know I don't get it quite right, but that's who we're going to talk about today. And she was basically the Welsh warrior princess. Oh, I know, right.
You said the magic words.
Right? So, Empress Baddie, I think, is the term.
Empress Baddie.
So she honestly was, the more I looked into this, because I already knew about her, but the more I went, I was like, right, I've got to make sure I know what I'm talking about when I get here. And I honestly feel I could talk 4 days about her and still not scratch the surface. And so I'm going to do my best to do her justice today. Ready. We look at, so if we think about British history, the Romans left around about 409 AD, right? Boudica, everybody's heard about her. She was around 60 AD. We are looking today around 1136. So from 1100 to 1136, that's the time of Gwenllian that we're going to look at, all right? So have we heard of, like, we know 1066? Growing up in the UK, like, it was all 1066, the only date I ever really remember from history. The Battle of Hastings, someone got an arrow in the eye. That's like, you know, there's a battle too. That's really pretty much all I remember. So 1066, the Normans came from the north of France and conquered England. And, you know, little by little, they started moving through Cymru as well. So there was a whole heap of land taken, people very much, you know, brutalized into submission to the Normans. But we're going to get to that because, first of all, I wanted to talk about Gwenllian herself. Okay. So she was born around 1100 and she was born to Griffith ap Cynan was the name of her dad, and Angarad was the name of her mum. Right. So apparently she was just beautiful and, you know, very intelligent and bold and all those things they say about women in history, right? So those things. But the one thing that is very agreed on, she had very, very long red hair.
Ooh.
Right? So, she was rocking out the ranger, basically. So really bringing it. But in 1116, there or thereabouts, so there was a visit from a neighboring king and prince. So Gwenllian and her dad and her family were in Gwynedd, so that's kind of mid Wales, and then, or mid Cymru, and then you had visits from Griffith ap Rhys was his name, apparently a bit of a hottie. He came from Deheubarth, which was up in the north of Cymru, and he came down, and the two of them were like, oh my, what, mine. And so really, basically hooked up, they eloped, she goes off to Deheubarth with him, right? But apparently, proper love story. So there was no arranged marriage here. There was no, like, it was no setup. They were just like, yeah, shotgun. That one's mine, right? So it legitimately, they're known as being one of the great love stories, you know, because it was quite legitimate. She was about 16, but, you know, I guess time, that was how they did back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so off they bugger off back to Deheubarth, have like 7 kids or whatever. And over that time, I know, right?
Jeez.
Very busy. And so over that time, the Normans are continuing to do like raids and build castles and take more of the land. And Gwenllian and Griffith ap Rhys became like Robin Hood and Maid Marian, basically. So they literally were going and raiding Norman Norman settlements.
Uh-huh.
And then giving all the money back to the people of Cumbria. They do that for like 20 years or something like that. You know, they have all their children. She's generally very pregnant, going out, bow and arrowing people, you know, like, I know there's a better term for it.
No, that's the perfect term for it.
And, you know, they're raiding, they've got, you know, all their little kids, they're all involved as well, but legitimately very, very loved by the people. Now, over that 20 years, the Normans were taking a lot of their land. So a lot of Deheubarth then got annexed by the Normans. And so Gwenllian and Rhys were basically just pushed into very like smaller and smaller and smaller pieces of land. They were forced into hiding a few times. And so, you know, frankly, fed up. They were like, we're done. This is actually not a thing for us anymore. And so on the 1st of December, it was in 1135, King Henry I died, much rejoicing, right? So there was, you know,
people were so excited.
Yeah, they were like, you know, this is amazing. Even better, his heirs, you know, it was supposed to be a chick. So it was supposed to be his daughter, Empress Matilda, was supposed to rule. But Stephen, whose name I cannot pronounce, Stephen Dubois, Blois,
sure,
something like that.
Great.
He was like, yeah, nah. So he was like, I'm going to challenge you for this. And so the two of them then, they had this whole basically war that was known as the Anarchy. Boring, don't care, English and Norman. But what it meant, maybe I should care, I don't know. But what it meant was that it left a bit of a vacuum.
Oh, okay.
And so the Cymraeg, they come back in and they're like, well, while you guys are off being like fighting amongst yourselves, thank you very much. We'll take back our land. And in early January in 1136, there was quite a big Welsh victory at, I can't pronounce this place. It's Flucha. 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 Anyway.
I believe you.
Yeah. LLWCHWR. Not a vowel to be had.
Nope.
But I know how it should be. It's Lucha. Lucha. But I feel like I'm not doing it justice.
No. It's fine.
Yeah. But they killed about, there was like 1,000 Cymraeg there, and they killed about 500, 600 or so Normans. And the Normans were like, and then retreated, right? And they retreated back. It was Maurice de Londres, so Maurice of London, retreated back to Kidwelly Castle and just licked their wounds. And they were just like, man, we lost.
Oh, no.
The plan was that Griffith ap Rhys, he was going to go back to Gwynedd and see Gwenllian's dad, because Gwenllian's dad had all the people. So he was going to go back there, get some troops, come back, completely rout the Normans, claim Cymru back for the people of Cymru, and just be like, off you go, see you later, when don't come back. Unfortunately, while he was gone, obviously Maurice found out about this. And was like, well, this is convenient. Right. We will go and just gather all our troops and we'll march on Deheubarth.
No!
Yes. So that's kind of what they do. But luckily, a messenger comes in. So like literally it's like 1136 still. So we're still in January. Gwenllian's at home, you know, playing with the kids, doing all that type of thing. And a messenger comes in, is like, yeah, we're in trouble. The Normans are gathering. They're going to attack. So she's like, right, well, okay, flipping husband, like, obviously disappears, gonna miss the entire event, basically. That's not gonna stop me. I have never needed, like, I've never sat in the shadows. I've never waited. The people love me. So she went out and she got everybody together that was still left. Now, because of all the Norman raids, there'd been quite a long famine. You know, there actually were people who had been injured. There wasn't that many fighting people. So gathered up men and women of Cymru, and they were not fighters, most of them. That said, they probably would have done okay, but there is a little bit of controversy because there's a suggestion that, so she split her forces in two, and the Lord, whose name I shall not say because he does not deserve it, who had the second group, went straight to the Normans and was like, hey, guess what? This is what's happening.
He's a part of the garbage human gang.
Total garbage human. So obviously, like, you know, we've got Griffith, we've got Rhys. I'm just gonna call him Rhys. They're all called Griffith. Griffith basically means prince, right? So they're all that. So Rhys is off, and he's off with their dad, just going, can you give me troops? And her dad's like, oh, I don't know, you know, like, he's got old by that point. He's like, oh, should we want to do this? Anyway, he does actually agree, obviously too late. So early in the morning, on the day of the final battle, Gwent Lian takes her troops, separates them out, goes to Kidwelly Castle. And as they get there, the Normans basically come to meet them, and they are vastly outnumbered.
When Johann Rall received the letter on Christmas Day 1776, he put it away to read later. Maybe he thought it was a season's greeting and wanted to save it for the fireside. But what it actually was a warning, delivered to the Hessian colonel, letting him know that General George Washington was crossing the Delaware and would soon attack his forces. The next day, when Rall lost the Battle of Trenton and died from two colonial Boxing Day musket balls, the letter was found, unopened, in his vest pocket. As someone with 15,000 unread emails in his inbox, I feel like there's a lesson there. Oh well, this is The Constant, a history of getting things wrong. I'm Mark Chrysler. Every episode, we look at the bad ideas, mistakes, and accidents that misshaped our world. Find us at constantpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gwent Lian had sent away her youngest children and got them out, right? So one of those goes on to become quite the guy. So in history, does a lot of good things. So off he's gone, right? But she's got her two oldest sons, Morgan and Maelgwn, who are the only two, like, really on the field that have much in the way of battle training. And so as the battle's going, her horse gets shot with an arrow, right? Throws her off. And her son Morgan basically takes an arrow and takes a fatal injury for her. So he dies.
Oh, no.
Her son Maelgwn is then, he's like, you know, just a little bit further away, and he's trying to get to her, but she gets swarmed by the, you know, the Normans. And you know, it's like the whole, here's the battlefield, there's horses everywhere, there's all the noise. And then, you know, we only have accounts, and some of the accounts obviously differ, but it's like Gwent Lian is down from the Cymraeg, and then the Normans are like, yeah, Gwent Lian's down. Anyway, so at this time, it was customary that if you take a royal prisoner, there's a certain level of respect that you give them, right? They become, you know, they may get tried, they may get, you know, whatever down the track, but they're treated with respect. So this did not happen with Gwent Lian, because how very dare she be a woman and be challenging, you know, the Normans. How very dare she. And this woman is going to be made to pay for the loss at whatever, that place, earlier on, right? Still very fresh in the minds. They're very angry. They see themselves very much as the leaders of the whole country and not happy that the Cymru have kind of beat them. So there, again, different accounts, but the account I choose to believe, because I believe it's got the most evidence for it, is that she was beheaded there and then on the field. Sorry. Happy ending. I should have given that warning, shouldn't I? Not a happy ending. Not a happy ending. Sorry.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So bad.
36. Now, there's also, there are accounts that Milgun had, he took like a really bad injury. There are accounts that he was taken prisoner, but they doesn't seem to have survived beyond this. You know, there's no more accounts of him.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all kind of gone. Now, there's a really kind of, I guess, a beautiful piece of myth or folklore.
Mm-hmm.
That says in the field where she fell, spring appeared. And it's still there, and it's called, you know, the Spring of Gwenllian. So, you know, like it's like the Welsh folklore, and like lots of folklore is full of things like that. But she fell, and it was considered to be this massive insult to me, because it is not what you did. You did not do this. And in all of the battles, nobody had ever done that kind of, you know, at that level of barbarity, really. So anyway, they don't leave a survivor, pretty much. You know, there's very, very few people make it off the field. Now, it doesn't end there, which is right.
Okay, there's hope.
So what happens is word finally makes its way to Gwynedd. And we're saying finally, we're talking days, maybe a couple of weeks. And they're coming back with this massive force, like a few days, and it would have all been a very different story, right? And they hear that Gwenllian's fallen, and along with Morgan and basically Margwen is the expectation. But and what happens is it sparks her death, and but more importantly, the insult to her and to the people of Cymru sparked the Great Revolt, or the Gwent Revolt of 1136, which led to a significant reclaiming of lands for Cymru. And, you know, it certainly has an impact on the boundaries now of, you know, of Cymru as it stands. But they managed to rout the Normans from quite a lot of places across Cymru. And like I say, her son, Rhys, her youngest, went on to become Lord Rhys, and he was quite the guy down the track. I won't go into his story because we'll be here for another half an hour or so. But over the next year, there was a whole heap of ground got. There was, you know, like it was a really good time, if you like, for reclaiming Cymru's, I won't say sovereignty, but certainly land and power. Going back to how the love story of Gwenllian and Griffith at Rhys, he died a year later. And I couldn't find a reason for his death, or cause of death. Everything just says
broken heart. He died with a broken heart.
That's literally what all of the records say.
Yeah, I believe it. It's a thing. People die of broken hearts, and I cannot be convinced otherwise. So I believe it.
I did tell you in my previous life, I was a police officer. Yes. And I can tell you that I have been to many, many older people who have passed away. Mm-hmm. And usually there's a return visit not very long after for their spouse. The people do die of broken hearts.
I believe it. I believe it. Yeah, and I believe that he died of a broken heart, because Gwenllian sounds so freaking badass. So why wouldn't you die of a broken heart?
Right.
Why wouldn't you?
But also she was dead pretty and stuff, right?
So. Yeah, right, exactly. Long red hair. I mean, come on. He didn't stand a chance.
Yeah. But, you know, like, because I guess it was just one of those things. It was just, she's known as the only medieval female who led her force into battle. So, you know, like, it's quite a thing for her anyway. And that's why I think she's super duper cool, because we focused on the battle where things went wrong, but that 20 years before, I mean, like, in fact, before she even met Rhys, she was like, hey, you know what? I'm learning the sword. I'm going to fight, and I'm going to do all the things. And also I'm super smart, and I'm going to, you know, the time of, where Gwenllian and Griffith at Rhys were in charge, if you like, in Deheubarth, is known as the golden era. You know, the people were so well looked after. I mean, obviously it all went horribly wrong when the Normans just got closer and closer and they lost more and more. But, you know, like, by all accounts, she did good stuff.
Yeah, for 20 years, making things great for everybody.
Yes.
That is nothing to turn your nose up at.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a saying that stay, it fired all the way through the revolt. It remains quite mm-hmm. It's quite a well-known kind of, not a catchphrase, but a battle cry, really, in Cymru. And it's Ddael Achos Gwenllian, which is revenge for Gwenllian. And so for hundreds of years, like any battles, like Cymru would that would be the battle cry going into.
Before actual battles, people would say it.
How cool, right?
So cool.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So people are just remembering how badass she is and like invoking her spirit before they go kick some ass, which is so cool. Oh, that's so cool, Callie.
And as I say, like in the there is all the legend that her spirit still roams the field Maes Gwenllian, which is the field of Gwenllian, which is near Cydweli Castle, which is where she fell. And if anybody is going to the UK, please go to Cymru. There's so many cool things to see. And Cydweli is just one of the amazing castles there.
And if you go, DM both of us and send us pictures.
Yes. And look, you can go to Tintagel and places like that, you know, but you can go to Pembroke. You're like, there's anyway, castles, magic.
Yeah.
If you want to connect into that stuff and, you know, really feel the spirit of Cymru. As soon as you pass the Croeso I Cymru sign, which is the welcome to Wales sign, it will rain, but that's okay because you'll still, you'll feel the magic and the history of the place and it's well worth it.
Oh my gosh, I want to go there now. It's on my bucket list officially. Oh, I'm so excited. So we know now about Gwenllian. I have to pause every time to get my tongue in the right spot. And she started this revolution. And you talked a little bit about the Welsh language. Say it again.
Cymraeg is Welsh. Cymru is Wales.
Cymbrian.
Cymru. So C-Y-M-R-U. Cymru.
Cymru. Okay, Cymru. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about the language and the history of that.
Yeah, so there's a real resurgence now. So I'll apologize to anybody if I get the dates not quite right, but the Cymraeg was outlawed still in many, many uses. And, you know, I have most of my family is still over there. So I learned to speak at school, but it was very much a secondary language. You know, English was first. And in my lifetime, I've seen the road signs, for example. It seems so silly, but the road signs have gone from English at top, Cymraeg at the bottom, to Cymraeg at the top, English at the bottom, where, you know, it's like with many resurgences of language, like many places are being returned to their names, like Innismon rather than Anglesey, you know, all those types of things. And one of the things, like there are still parts, still places you're not allowed to speak Cymraeg, right? So like there's still circumstances that, it's still very much a, I always, as I say, the Welsh were the first people the English colonized in a way. You know what I mean?
Truly.
Yeah. And so there's a real, I'm growing up, my mum's English, my dad's Welsh. I grew up in, as I said, I was born and raised in Cymru. So I class myself as Welsh. But it's funny because people are often like, oh, you know, it's basically English. Oh, no, you must be English. And I'm like, No.
No. So, no, it's like saying that Canadians and Americans are the same, which no,
it's exactly that. Yes,
absolutely not.
But like, so my granddad before he died, his surname was Griffith, and so you know, like, there's we can trace it right back to Llywelyn ap Griffith, who there, if another place to visit in the Wales is Caerleon. So Caerleon is the Roman ruins. Very interesting. Edit that bit. is Caerphilly Castle, which has got a split tower, but it's got like it's got a big museum in one of the towers, which gives all of this history as well. So it talks about the fact that they would say there weren't really kings of Wales, but there was, you know, like a unified kind of Wales. One of the things, total side quest here, but one of the things people may have heard of is Hiraeth. Have you heard about the word cyrraedd. Okay, so on the Clock app, a little while back, I think it was the end of last year, there was this whole thing where everybody was going, oh my God, cyrraedd, it's such a... Oh, in fact, they didn't know how to pronounce it most of the time. but people were getting it tattooed on themselves. Call it then, oh my God, I'm just going to call my kid that. It's such a pretty name. when we talk about loss, and it is relevant, I promise, cyrraedd means it's a grief. It's a sense of loss. And people are going, oh, like Hogwarts. You know, but it's like a sense of longing for a place that you can never go back to, right?
Oh.
Or a sense of longing for a place you can't go to.
Mm-hmm.
It actually means it's a sense of longing for a Wales that will never be due to the English colonization. Ah. That's what it means. This chick goes to me.
I have goosebumps on my arm currently right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
It goes real deep. Like, you know, the sense of connection to country, connection to culture in Cymru is quite strong. So I'm the other side of the world, and I have been for quite some time. Wow. However, like going back, putting my feet on the soil, you know, like it's an immediate connection. It's I don't know. There's as I say, when I first started, we believe in magic, you know.
Yeah.
There are magic in the hills. King Arthur is sleeping under the tour, you know, and he is going to wake up one day. It's going to happen. And that is a story I would tell one time, is of Morgana Le Fay.
Ooh, we're just going to have you on again.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Talk about Welsh mythology hour. That's what it's going to be.
Although Lady Godiva from Coventry is also very interesting. So I could do her too. She rode naked on a horseback.
What?
Naked on a horse through the city, yeah, to prove a point. She was like, what?
Amazing. Oh, my God. Yeah. Vagina of steel. Jesus.
Very much so. No, but, yeah, so the question about language, you know, it just, I think it's that connection to culture we talked about. And I think it's, heard it through, I've always kind of really picked up on it when you talk about it in some of your other episodes. Mm-hmm. When you, I just listened to the one about the Dahomey. I'm going to say it wrong.
Dahomey Amazon warrior.
Yeah. Yes. And I can't remember the proper name, but you know, like where you started it, and we're like, yeah, and this is the thing, but we're not going to call them that, you know. And so,
yeah.
How important is language when we look at history? It's like, we're in Australia here, we have First Nations people or Aboriginal Australians. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in Canberra or Ngunnawal, Ngambri country, you know. So it's really important that I just think language. And I think, you know, with Cymru, it's the same.
Yeah.
And also, we like to make it really hard for people,
right?
By having double L's, double D's.
And no vowels, not a vowel in sight. We just don't want vowels.
Yes.
Throw them all in the bin. It's fine.
Yep.
But I agree. That
really long place name.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't do it.
We had a girl in high school, and her name was Siobhan.
Yep.
But it was spelled not the English way, the Welsh way. And I can't tell you how it was spelled. But I do know that everybody got her name wrong every time. So
yeah.
It was like me and Siobhan, the two kids with the weird names.
Oh, I feel you. I feel you on that one. Right. Yeah, my name has always been I feel you. So I don't know, did I do her justice? I guess I'm kind of worried that I didn't do her justice, because her story doesn't get told enough, and I just hope.
No, yeah. You absolutely did do her justice. I feel like in a very short period of time, I know that she's a super badass. She doesn't take shit. She learned to fight before the fighting was necessary. So, and she also, like, she held her own. And I love that. I absolutely love that. And I love that her memory has continued on in battles. Like that, just knowing the fact that her spirit was invoked before all of these different battles is so, so cool. And I love that I don't love that she died, but I do I love that her death was the thing that started this whole revolution. And Yeah, I think you did an absolutely wonderful job. So thank you so much, Callie, for talking about that and also making me want to know more about Welsh mythology. And I am so serious about you coming on again and telling us all about the magic in the hills. So
I would love to. Yeah, I would love to. It is a something I don't get to talk about as much as I feel I should.
Yeah. You definitely should. So thank you so much for coming on today. It was absolutely excellent to have you on. And if people want to hear more from you, Callie, where can they find you?
Yeah, sure. So you can come and find us at F Them Fish, ADHD for Grownups podcast. Mm-hmm. It is obviously about ADHD. I had a late diagnosis about a year ago, and it's myself and my my husband at the time, and we were separated now. We still mm-hmm. host together on the podcast, mm-hmm. but all about like just the shits and giggles, I guess, that come with having a late ADHD diagnosis. And because me being me, I went into advocacy as well, mm-hmm. like immediately. So I was like, right, this thing happened. I reckon I should start a podcast. and I do other advocacy as well around ADHD. So, and actually my 8-year-old daughter also started a podcast as well. Yeah. Called PB's Productions, my ADHD kids podcast. She's only had one episode out and I'm just editing the second, but oh my goodness, amazing. So she also is a magic brain. So
yes, she's a part of the NeuroSpicy gang. I love it.
But yeah, you can find us on find me on Instagram. I love people come and finding me on Instagram. We're again same name as the podcast. Mm-hmm. I do have a TikTok, but to be honest, I haven't uploaded anything since December. So you know, you can have a look. There's some fun stuff on there. Go for it. That's fine. But yeah, mostly Instagram is where we're at now.
Awesome. Yeah, and I will put all of Callie's and her daughter's, if that's okay. Can I put your daughter's podcast in the show notes?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yes. So I'll put Callie's socials and her daughter's podcast in the show notes so that you can go and follow her on all of the social medias and get that information for your ADHD brain. Even if you don't have ADHD, it's really, really good. I'm currently listening to the episode about workplace accommodations and I'm simultaneously like laughing and like crying a little bit inside.
all right. Every episode, there's got something confrontational where you go, oh shit.
Like, oh no, I feel called out personally. So,
yeah. It's great. We love that. And, I planned on asking you to come be on it. And I'm like, hey, sorry, you want to come?
Yeah, I will come.
we are a little bit sweary, but you know,
I love it. I can be a little bit sweary too. So we'll get spicy TK out on the F Them Fish podcast.
Awesome.
I love it. Thank you so much, Callie. On my delicious little donut, I will see you in the outro. Say bye, Callie.
Bye.
Thank you again so much to Callie for joining us on this episode. I need to know more about Welsh history because it sounds magical AF, and their national animal is really the dragon. I thought Ireland was cool with the unicorn, but that's, I mean, it's a close tie. It is a close tie. So if you also enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a rating or review to pray at the altar of the algorithm gods and help more history BFFs come and find for the love of history. If you'd like to support the podcast in other ways, you can join us over on Patreon and become a patron member for some extra special history stuff. Or you can support the podcast by buying some incredible merch, if I do say so myself. I'm wearing the spooky history Kappa version sweater, and it is so comfy, and I love it so much, and there's some really, really fun designs, like you can see right here. There are also some amazing free 99 ways to support the podcast, like subscribing to the YouTube channel. And also, Spotify has a new feature where you can leave comments on episodes. So go ahead and do that. I absolutely love seeing those. They make me so happy. So thank you so much again for joining me in this week's episode. And I will see you next week when we talk about, finally,
our first Empress Baddie of the season. It's been a long time since we talked about an Empress Baddie, and I'm so excited to talk about this particular Empress Baddie because she's really friggin' cool. And with that, I will bid you adieu and remind you to do something that makes you happy. Go outside, touch some grass, drink your water, please and thank you. And I will see you next week. Okay, love you. Mwah. Bye. Why is there a metronome right now? Okay.
Hello, everyone. It's Takuya here.
And I'm Gabby.
And we are the hosts of History of Everything, a podcast which you can probably guess by the name is, well, I mean, it's about everything. Do you want to know why people thought potatoes were evil and would give you syphilis? Are you curious about all the stories of the terrible and stupid ways that people have kicked the bucket over the years? Do you want to hear tales about all of the different badasses of history and the lives that they had brought to life? Well, if so, then look no further. History of Everything is just the right podcast for you. It's available on Spotify, Pandora, and anywhere else that you get your podcast from. Join us for some fun and just see how weird and wacky history can be.